Collecting my patience, therefore, I began to consider that chanting of the holy name of Krishna had covered all my spiritual knowledge. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hints in this verse that to chant the holy name of Krishna, one does not need to speculate on the philosophical aspects of the science of God, for one automatically becomes ecstatic and without consideration immediately chants, dances, laughs, cries, and sings just like a madman. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki. Amagyana dimirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamaiham dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri chita padakamalan shri gurun vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namostute, Tapta, Kanchana, Gaurangi, Radhe, Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu, Sute, Devi, Pranamami, Hari, Priye, Vancha, Kalpatarubhyascha, Kripa, Sindhubhya, Evacha, Patitanam, Pavanebhyo, Vishnavibhyo, Namo, Namaha, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So with your permission, try to share some words on these wonderful verses of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So here we're continuing the story. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. We're continuing the story of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was a great scholar, who knew all about the different philosophical systems of knowledge, who was able to defeat anyone in argument, who was so learned that no one was confident to approach him or engage with him in any kind of debate. And this Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was such an intellectual, went to Ishwarapuri, and Ishwarapuri told him that forget all your knowledge, forget all your learning, forget your position and your status as a great scholar, just chant Hare Krishna. And he did that. And here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining what he's experienced from chanting Hare Krishna. He said, I went away from Ishwarapuri, I began to chant Hare Krishna, and I began to sing, dance, laugh, cry, and fall down like a madman. And he's a little bewildered by that. So this is actually the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement. In one lecture, Indradyumna Maharaj, he said, all of the service that we're doing, all of the austerities that we perform, all of the knowledge that we're learning, and all of the sadhana that we're performing is only so that one day we can sit down in one corner of the room, take our beads and chant Hare Krishna, in such absorption that a drop of tears fall from our eyes. That's the goal of everything, to chant in that state of mind with such love and such devotion. Everything we do is only for that purpose. So the chanting of the holy name of Krishna is the beginning, the middle, and the end of spiritual life. Even in the spiritual world, they are chanting Hare Krishna. One devotee once came to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, do I have to chant my rounds in the spiritual world?" And Prabhupada just looked at him and thought, "You didn't really get it, did you?" Srila Prabhupada said that the result of chanting Hare Krishna is that you want to chant even more. And therefore we see that the residents of the spiritual world, they are also chanting Hare Krishna. Raghunath Das Goswami describes a day in the life of Srimati Radharani in the spiritual world. Ekada Krishna Virahad Jayanti Priya Sangamam Mano Bashpa Nirasaya Jalpanditam Muhur Muhu. Raghunath Das Goswami describes Ekada, one day, Krishna Virahad, Srimati Radharani was feeling great separation from Krishna. Dhyayanti Priya Sangamam. And she was constantly meditating, when will I be able to associate with Krishna? Mano Bashpa Nirasaya. Then she thought, I have to relieve my mental anxiety of not being with Krishna, somehow or other. So what did she do? Jalpanditam Muhur Muhu. She immediately began to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Even Srimati Radharani chants Hare Krishna. So a devotee, the chanting of the holy name is the most important activity in their life. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the determination of a devotee is that even if Krishna comes to that devotee and says, stop chanting, the devotee will not stop chanting. And we have an example of that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, of when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Haridas Thakur and he said, now you're old, now you're ill, now you're diseased, give up this vow of chanting 300,000 names of Krishna, you've done your bit, now you can relax. And Haridas Thakur says, no, I cannot relax. My disease, my real disease, my real illness is that I cannot chant. I cannot finish my rounds. That's my disease. So, the end of spiritual life is that we develop such an attachment to the holy name. And that attachment begins with attentiveness. Chanting attentively brings attraction. Attentive chanting brings attraction. And attraction, when it matures, brings attachment. This is the progression that we're going through in chanting. First, attentive chanting. Then, chanting with attraction. Then, chanting with great attachment, such that you cannot stop chanting. Therefore, the time that we spend in our daily routine chanting is the most important time. Jayadvaita Maharaj, he said, it's just like a ship. A huge ship. What does it have at the back of the ship? It has a small piece of wood called a rudder. And this rudder just moves like this. And just on the basis of the moving of this rudder, the entire direction of the ship is changed. So he said, just like that, when you sit down to chant in the morning, how you move your tongue and how you chant the holy name of Krishna, the attention that you do it with, the seriousness that you do it with, the absorption and determination with which you chant, that moving of the tongue decides the entire direction of your life. The entire future of your spiritual life is based on how you chant Hare Krishna. So the chanting of the holy name is the beginning, middle, and end of our spiritual life. Hare Name, Hare Nama, Hare Nameva Kevalam. There's no other way in this age. Here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, since I began chanting the holy name of Krishna, my knowledge became covered. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before he began chanting, he was a great scholar, as I mentioned. But all of his knowledge, all of his understanding of Shastra did not help him to fall in love with Krishna, at least in the role that he was playing. And therefore he considered that knowledge useless. However, the same Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later on engaged in studying the Shastras, engaged in hearing the Shastras. So in this verse, we should not think that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying knowledge is not important, simply chanting is important. No, he's saying knowledge which doesn't lead one to love of Krishna, that type of knowledge is useless. But the type of knowledge that leads one to Krishna, that type of knowledge is very useful. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada translated so many books and gave us access to so much knowledge, because this knowledge is supporting our journey to chant Hare Krishna purely. So we must read the books, we must study the philosophy, we must understand these teachings in a very detailed way. Because knowledge is very, very important in our spiritual journey. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, my only complaint of my disciples is that they don't study the books enough. So we won't do a survey here, but I'm sure if we did a survey of 100 devotees and we asked how many of these 100 devotees are reading 1 hour every day, I don't think we'd have a very good count there. And I'm probably one of the people who'd be part of the ones that are not doing that. And of those that are not reading 1 hour a day, how many of those devotees think that it's a serious problem in their spiritual life, that I'm not reading 1 hour every day? Maybe quite a few don't think it's a big problem. But actually, knowledge is very, very important. It's so important to be constantly in contact with Srila Prabhupada's teachings and Srila Prabhupada's books. Because knowledge performs many, many functions in our spiritual life. And today I want to share with you a few verses from the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna explains what the power of knowledge is. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna uses different metaphors to explain how knowledge acts in the life of a devotee. And today I'll try to share those metaphors with you. In one verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, Deshameva anukam partham, Aham agyana jam tamaha nasayam yatma bhavasto gyana deepena bhashvata. It's a very famous verse that many of you may know. Krishna says, gyana deepena bhashvata. Gyana deepena. Knowledge is like a lamp. Yeah? Krishna says, the first metaphor that Krishna uses for knowledge is that he calls it the lamp of knowledge. Imagine you wake up in a dark room. This happens in the Brahmacharya Ashram every day. You wake up in the morning in a dark room And if you live in the Brahmacharya ashram, there's many, many other people in that room, and they're all sleeping on the floor, all in different positions. It's not coordinated at all. So when you wake up in the morning in the dark, the first thing is that you're disorientated and you want to get out of the room. But you can't even see the door. What's worse is that there's all these bodies in between you and the door. Dangerous situation. So the first thing you need is some light. You need a lamp. But of course, we don't have lamps, so we use mobile phones and use the light from the mobile phone. And through that light of the mobile phone, we find out where the door is. We can see where the door is. We know where we have to go. And simultaneously, we can see all these sleeping jivas who we have to avoid. And we walk around them and we make our way to the door. Knowledge is like a lamp. This material world is a dark place, and knowledge is the lamp which firstly tells us that we have to get out of this world, and knowledge is the lamp which tells us how to get out of this world. The lamp of knowledge reminds us of the Param Gati, the supreme goal of our life. In the midst of so many responsibilities in life, sometimes we forget what the ultimate goal is. And therefore, when we read the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and of the different scriptures, we remind ourselves, what is the ultimate goal of my life? Where am I supposed to be going? What is the ultimate priority? Because sometimes in our life, we miss the priorities. We miss our spiritual priorities and other things take over. Just like some months ago, I got my laundry together and I was walking down to the laundrette to wash my clothes. So I had my bag and I walked down the stairs. And then as I walked down the stairs, I met one devotee. So I started speaking to him. And then he wanted to show me something. So I went to a room with him. You know, one thing led to another. We ended up having a conversation for 15 minutes. Anyway, then I came out of the room. As soon as I came out of the room, I met another devotee, and then we started having a conversation because I hadn't seen him for such a long time. And that went on for 20 minutes. And then he wanted to take me to another devotee in the bakery. So then we went to the bakery and we met this other devotee in the bakery. That took another 20 minutes. And then I just ended up walking straight back up to the Brahmacharya ashram. And then I looked down and I saw that I still had the laundry in my hand. I'd gone out to perform a certain task. But in the midst of so much busyness and so many other diversions, I had forgot what my real purpose in going down was. Life is like that. In the midst of so many things happening in our life, we forget, what is the reason I'm here? And where is the destination that I'm supposed to reach? Therefore, knowledge is like a lamp. Jnana dipena. And just like there's so many bodies in between you and the door when you need to leave a dark room, similarly, on our way to achieve our destination, the supreme destination, the spiritual world, there are many, many obstacles. And therefore, Jnana dipena. Knowledge is like a lamp which tells you what obstacles you will face and how to avoid them. The ways and the means by which devotees leave spiritual life do not change. The ways that devotees, the obstacles and the challenges that devotees in the Shastra faced are the same obstacles that we will face. So the idea of reading Shastra is that when we see the obstacles that the devotees faced, the difficulties that they had, and how they overcame those obstacles, by reading that knowledge, we can understand, I will probably go through the same things in my life. And therefore, we can avoid ourselves a lot of pain and a lot of trouble by simply understanding from Shastra what the obstacles will be and then avoiding them in our own life. So therefore Krishna says, Jnana Deepena, knowledge is like a lamp. Then Krishna goes on in the Gita, in another verse he explains, Yasya Sarve Samarambha Kama Sankalpa Varjita Jnanagni Dagda Karmanam Tam Ahur Panditam Buddha. Here Krishna says, Jnanagni Karma Dagdanam. Krishna explains that knowledge is just like a fire. In this world, we receive certain reactions, and these reactions are meant to teach us a better way to live. Karma comes to us because the universe is trying to teach us that this is not what you should do, and this is what you should do. So the whole purpose of karma is education, to teach us life lessons. That's the reason we experience certain reactions in our life. However, if we learn the lessons of life from the Shastra, then the knowledge of the Shastra acts as a fire to burn up all the sinful reactions that we are due to receive in this life. Therefore, Krishna says, Jnana Agni. If you learn all your lessons simply by hearing, then you don't need to go through the experience. Just like if a prisoner goes to jail and he's imprisoned for 20 years. But after 10 years, the prison officials interview him and feel that he's learned his lessons. Then they can set him free, no problem. So similarly, knowledge is like that. If we ascertain life lessons from the Shastra, then knowledge acts as a fire, which burns up all our reactions in our life. One time Srila Prabhupada, he said, the job of Maya and the job of devotees is the same. So the devotees were a little bewildered by that. What does that mean? So Srila Prabhupada said, the job of Maya is to cause the living entity suffering. The job of Maya is to bewilder the living entity. And the job of devotees is to give the living entity knowledge. The job of devotees is to help living entities come to their real consciousness. So Prabhupada said, the job of Maya and the job of devotees is the same. So now devotees were even more bewildered. Like, it doesn't sound like the same job description. Then Srila Prabhupada explained that Maya is causing you suffering. Maya is bewildering you. And the reason she does that is to give you a kick from behind. A kick that pushes you towards Krishna. And then Prabhupada said, the devotees who are giving you knowledge, who are awakening you to your real consciousness, they are like the person who comes in front of you and takes your hands and pulls you forward very lovingly. So Maya and the devotees are both taking you to Krishna. The reactions of material nature are actually meant to take us towards Krishna. And the devotees and the Shastra, they also lovingly take us to Krishna. But I'm sure all of us would prefer to go to Krishna by the loving hand of the Shastras and devotees, rather than getting a big kick from the back. Therefore, knowledge is like a fire. It burns up all of your reactions and it awakens real knowledge within you. Therefore, Prabhupada once said, life is like a game of football. The problem is we think we're the players, but actually we're the football. Because we're just being kicked around again and again, and it's not very nice. Therefore Krishna says, Jnana Agni Karma Dagdanam. श्री श्री राधा गोकुलानंद की जय, श्री श्री सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान की जय, श्री श्री गौरनिताय की जय। Then in another verse in the fourth chapter, Krishna explains, Tasmada jnana sambhutam ritstam jnana sinatmana chitvainam samsayam yogam atisto atista bharata. Here Krishna talks about jnana ashina. Here in this verse, Krishna says knowledge is like a sword. Knowledge is like a sword which cuts all of your doubts. Because life is full of doubts. As we go through our spiritual life, so many doubts will come. Sometimes we doubt whether Krishna exists. Sometimes we doubt devotees. Sometimes we doubt the process of Krishna consciousness. We think, do I really want to do this? Sometimes we think, can I really do this? These are all the doubts that come in the life of a devotee. And therefore Krishna says knowledge is just like a sword which cuts all of your doubts to pieces. And we should not think that because we've been in spiritual life for some years, we're no longer susceptible to doubts. Everyone is susceptible to doubts. I recently spoke to one devotee who's been a devotee for many years, 15, 20 years. And he works in the city in a very good job. And of course he's surrounded by intelligent people. So he told me, he came to see me last week and he said, a couple of weeks ago I went to work and I was working with one of my clients, all very intelligent people. And one of them started coming out with arguments against the existence of God. So he said, these arguments, I knew the answers. I've studied all these things before. I've, you know, from Srila Prabhupada's books, I know how to respond to these arguments. But he said, when he started throwing all these arguments at me, I actually became bewildered. For a moment I thought, my God, what am I doing? Does Krishna really exist? He had doubts. And he came to the conclusion that the reason he was having doubts was because he wasn't constantly or continually reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Anyone is susceptible to doubts, even if you know the philosophy. Because if we're not constantly in contact with these teachings, and if we're not sharpening our sword of knowledge, then it's quite possible that we can become bewildered. Therefore, someone cannot say, I've eaten for the last 200 days, therefore today I don't need to eat. It's a ridiculous argument. If I say to you, come on, you've eaten already so many days. If you miss one day, what's the big deal? It will cause you a lot of pain. So similarly, you cannot think that I've read the Shastras so many times. 10 years ago, I spent 2 years just reading every day. Now I don't need to read anymore. No. Just like you need to eat every day, you need to read the Shastra every day. Because knowledge is like a sword, which cuts all the doubts. And not only do we want to cut our own doubts, but we want to cut the doubts of other people. Because in the age we're living in, there's so many people who are going out into the world and proclaiming atheistic worldviews and bewildering the masses. So devotees have to be able to respond to these people. It's very nice actually, now we have a devotee in Ireland who is writing a book in response to Richard Dawkins' God Delusion. So books like this, which en masse try to disprove God and try to label the spiritual path as something very sentimental, as something mythological, as something which is irrelevant and outdated. Books like this, devotees have to be able to respond intelligently to these things. We have to be so fixed in the philosophy that we can also convince someone else who's not fixed in the philosophy. Because nowadays in the world, atheistic worldviews, so-called scientific worldviews, are being taught as irrevocable, undisputable, scientific fact in schools, colleges, universities, and educational institutions across the world. But they're completely unfounded. And children are growing up with these atheistic worldviews. So the devotees have to be very fixed in their own philosophy to be able to respond intelligently to such worldviews. So therefore Krishna says, Jnana Ashina. Knowledge is like a sword which cuts your doubts. Then in another verse of the Gita, Krishna explains, Apichayadasi papebhyo sarvebhya papakrittama sarvam jnana plaveneva vrijinam santarisyasi. In this verse, Krishna says, Jnana plava. Knowledge is like a boat. Knowledge is like a boat which protects us from the miseries of the world. This world is an ocean of miseries. There's always some crisis in the world. Either it's a financial crisis. If it's not that, it's a health crisis. If it's not that, it's a relationship crisis. If it's not that, it's a family crisis. There are so many troubles in the world. I was driving the other day and I saw a bumper sticker. And it said, do not disturb. Already disturbed. It's like that. Life is just full of so many disturbances. So many worries. So many anxieties. I was reading one psychology report of some psychologist. And he was talking about worry. And he said 65% of worries, I don't know how he came to this conclusion, but we can use it anyway. He said 65% of worries are about things that will probably never happen. He said another 20% of worries are about events of the past that you cannot do anything about. And he said another 10% of worries are about things in the future that you have no control whatsoever over. So he concluded 95% of worries are all futile. And he said 5% of worries you can actually do something about. But the problem is 95% of your energy has been spent in the other stuff, so you don't have any energy left to address these 5% anyway. So life is full of worries, full of anxieties, full of difficulties. Krishna says, Jnana plava. Knowledge is like a boat which protects you from all this misery. Why is knowledge like a boat which protects you from misery? The reason we worry in life is because we take things out of perspective. We make something much bigger than it really is. But when we're in touch with the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, when we have the bigger picture of life, when we see the eternal reality that I'm living within, then the problems in my life, the difficulties that I'm facing, the obstacles that I'm going through, they don't really seem that big anymore. Because we've been able to put it in the context of a much wider reality. When I was 13, I used to play badminton. So one time I got to this, it was just like a school tournament or something. So I got to this badminton final. And for me it was like the biggest thing. Like, this was my big break. So I got to this badminton final. Anyway, somehow I was on the verge of winning. And then I played some bad shots, whatever. I lost the final. And then I went home. And I became so bewildered by the whole situation that I couldn't leave home for 3 days. I couldn't bear to show my face to anyone because I lost some crummy badminton final. When I was going through it, it seemed like the biggest thing in the world. As I grew up and I look back at the situation, you realize how small it is. Because when you grow up and you see the bigger picture, then you're able to see everything in perspective. So similarly, when we spiritually grow up and we see this life and everything that happens in this life in the context of eternal reality, then we no longer become bewildered by the difficulties and the obstacles that we face. Therefore, Tribhuvanath Prabhu used to famously say, don't take the illusion too seriously. We take our lives so serious, and everything that's happening in my life, we take it so serious. But in the context of the bigger picture, there's no need to worry so much. So therefore, Krishna says, Jnana Plava. Knowledge is like a boat which protects you from the ocean of miseries. Therefore, through metaphors like this, Krishna is explaining that in the life of a devotee, to read this knowledge, to be in contact with Shastra, is very, very important. Jnana Agni, the fire of knowledge, burns all of your reactions up. Jnana Plava, the boat of knowledge, protects you from all kind of miseries. Jnana Ashina, the sword of knowledge, will cut all of your doubts and help you to cut the doubts in other people. And Jnana Deepena, the lamp of knowledge, helps you to always remember what is my ultimate goal and what are the obstacles that I have to avoid on my journey to that ultimate goal. So like this, through 4 different metaphors in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains the effect of being in contact with transcendental knowledge. And therefore the acharyas are always teaching that we must read these books regularly. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Shruyatam Shruyatam Nityam Giyatam Giyatam Muda Chintyatam Chintyatam Bhaktas Chaitanya Charitamritam. My friends, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, always hear, always chant, and always remember the wonderful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami says, Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagaviti uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Sutta Goswami says, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, always read the Bhagavatam every single day. Why? Because Nasta Prayeshva Bhadreshu, all the unwanted things in your heart will disappear. Lord Shiva, he says, Maline Moshanam Pumsham, Jalashnanam Dine Dine, Gita Shakrit Bhashishnanam, Samsara Malanashanam. Lord Shiva says to Parvati, read the Bhagavad Gita every single day. Jalashnanam dine dine. Just as you have a bath in water every day to cleanse the body. Similarly, bathe your mind and consciousness in the words of the Bhagavad Gita every single day. So like this, the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, these are books that we have to be constantly in touch with. Because this knowledge will help us to progress and stay determined and enthusiastic and focused in our spiritual life. These books are our constant companion.
Actually, Sanatan Goswami says that. He says, Mad eka bandhu, mad sangin. He says, the Bhagavatam is my one friend. The Bhagavatam is my constant companion. People in our life may come and go. Situations may change. That's the nature of the world. But Sanatan Goswami says, the Bhagavatam is my constant companion. This knowledge is something that will stay with us always. And if we're in contact with it, then we won't face any problems. So I could speak more, but I think I'll open it out here on this topic and see whether there's any questions, comments, or corrections.